Today is our second Sunday in our Lenten season, and so often we think of Lent as a time of self-denial, of fasting and repentance, a time where we kind of think, we are such terrible people, how can we turn toward God? And this season, one of the things that we're asking ourselves is instead of thinking of ourselves as terrible, awful people who need to repent and turn to God. And in some ways, yes, we do. But what if instead we said, we are good enough, exactly where we are. And what we need to do is turn to God to continue to grow and nurture in our faith. This morning, we're going to be reading from Luke's gospel here in just a moment. But Jesus offers this kind of interesting image of God or himself as a mother hen. My husband would tell you that I am an overprotective mother. Anyone else? Overprotective kind of mother or parents? Yeah, so like, I'm the kind of person that, so last week we were riding go-karts, and my father-in-law had Naomi up on this bridge watching the go-karts go by, and he had her on his shoulders, and I looked at him, and I said, you put her down. She's going to fall. There was no way she was going to fall, right? But I am that kind of mother. But I think all mothers, or all parents, in so many ways are protective of their children, and would sacrifice of themselves to make sure that their children are safe and taken care of. Now, there are many examples of this in pop culture, in stories, and in real life. One of Aaron and my used to be favorite shows, not so much anymore, is The Walking Dead. Anyone else watch The Walking Dead? Some of you? And so they had a spinoff called Fear the Walking Dead, which is really quite terrible. We just kind of stopped watching it because we just couldn't. But there's this woman in that story who has a baby. And she has a leg injury, and you know, there's zombies everywhere. And she has this leg injury and she can't walk. And she realizes that the only way to get the baby to safety is if she can move more quickly. And so she decides, well, zombies can walk. So she straps the baby to her back and she sacrifices herself so her baby can be brought to safety. Now, this doesn't just happen in TV and movies, right? Every day in different parts of the world, people are sacrificing and doing whatever they can to make sure their children are safe. Just this past week, there was a story on social media about this mom in Ukraine. And she had a sick mother and a young child who she needed to take care of. And she couldn't leave her mom behind, right? And so to keep her child safe, she recognized he couldn't stay there. That was not safe for him. And so she gave him some supplies and a passport, and she wrote her number on his hand. And he traveled thousands of miles, right, and made it to safety. That mom did whatever she could to protect her child. The love of a mother, this desire to protect, is one that never ends. We hear stories about moms being willing to put themselves in harm's way to protect their young, exposing themselves to dangers to ensure that the ones that they love are safe. And so today, in our text, Jesus compares himself to a mother. This is not the only place in Scripture where we get kind of a feminine image of God, but this is one. In fact, this is my favorite image. Anyone ever heard Jesus as a mother hen comparison? Have you read this text before? Yeah, it's not very well known. But Jesus compares himself to this mother hen that will do whatever he can to protect the baby chicks from this menacing fox, even to the point of giving his own life in hope that their lives might be spared, like a hen who gathers her young with her outstretched wings. Let's read from our gospel this morning. It is in our tradition to stand for the reading of the gospel. We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 13, 31. So stand as you are able in body or spirit as we read the gospel this morning. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here. for Herod wants to kill you. He said to them, go and tell that fox for me, listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Jesus has been en route to Jerusalem for quite some time, since about the end of chapter 9 in Luke's gospel. And here in Luke 13, the Pharisees urge him to get there even quicker because they claim that Herod has this desire to kill him. So what we hear is this, Herod wants to kill you. This word in Greek for desire, it's translated in the NRSV as wants to kill you, but it's this desire. Now, Herod isn't the only one who has desires in our text. In fact, this word in Greek for desire, it's translated either as desire or want, and it says Herod wants to kill you, but it also comes in two other places. When Jesus says, how I have desired to gather your children as a hen gathers her chicks. But then it also tells us that Jerusalem does not have the same desire. In the NRSV it says, and they are not willing. But it's the same word. They do not share the same desire. Luke presents Jesus as this prophet. And we're told that in the text, something bad happens to prophets, right? It says, see, you, I tell you, oh, sorry, I gotta back up. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills prophets and stones them, right? It's not really a great place to be a prophet, but that is what Luke identifies Jesus as. And in this way, Jesus is similar to other prophets of the time, like other famous kind of folks in that age. They claim to have these messages from the divine, and it lands them on trial, and they get convicted and sentenced to the death penalty from local leadership. Does this sound like what's about to happen to Jesus here in a few weeks, right? They don't like what he's saying, so he gets put on trial. I wouldn't really call it a trial, but whatever. And he's sentenced to death. And in those days, the leaders of the city would have seen a message like Jesus to be divisive and controversial and dangerous. They didn't like it. They didn't want it. And in fact, the people of Jerusalem were the same way. They didn't want Jesus' message, nor did they want his protection. Anyone else have children that don't want your protection? Like you can say over and over and over again, this is what is best for you, and they're like, no, it's fine if I drive 80 miles an hour backwards on the interstate, right? Like, that's cool. Don't need to listen to you, Mom. Jerusalem's the same way, rejecting this care that Jesus has, and yet the care that Jesus has never goes away. It says that in this case, Jerusalem, rather than desiring the message that Jesus offers, instead they opt to stone the one sent by God, or in fact hang him on a cross to die. Now I can imagine all sorts of emotions that Jesus is feeling, right? He has probably some fear over this threat that Herod has made on him, right? It says, Herod wants to kill you. I don't know about you, but if it was like, the president wants to kill you, I would be a little fearful, knowing that he has, like, you know, Secret Service and the CIA, right? Like, not a cool place to be in. I'm sure he's angry over how others are acting. He wants and desires Jerusalem to listen to him, and so I'm sure it makes him mad that they won't. Maybe he's even a little lugubrious. See, I worked it in. Or sad. Long story, I'll fill you in later. Maybe sad, knowing that Jerusalem is rejecting him. Remember, it says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets, I've desired to gather you like a mother hen, but you are not willing. It's curious that Jesus chooses a mother hen as an example and model in our text. I mean, I don't have a lot of experience with hens. Anyone have hens at their houses? Some of us. Anyone ever had hens? Kind of what I see, they're kind of messy and clumsy, and they just kind of like balk around, like they don't really seem to have a purpose. At least that's kind of been my experience. They're not super majestic like an eagle, right, that we hear in other texts, like in Isaiah. And so why would Jesus choose a mother hen? Maybe it was just worked for this sort of story. But I think part of it is because Jesus also calls Herod a fox, right? And we know in other scripture that a fox is depicted as a crafty, sinister creature. And in that time, one of the greatest threats to hens would have been what? Foxes, right? And so by calling Herod a fox, this crafty creature that's dangerous, that's going to harm the chicks, that's going to harm Jerusalem, that's going to harm the people, Jesus compares himself to a mother hen. Now, I don't think he does this because he knows, well, normally a fox always wins, right? But in fact, the very nature of a hen is to protect her chicks. I did a little research on hens, realizing they're not just, you know, messy kind of wandering creatures. In fact, some science shows that they're pretty smart. Here's an interesting fact. There are some believe that because chickens can anticipate and plan, they are also capable of worrying. And so some say that if a chicken is anticipating its own demise or its own death, it may even affect the quality of your dinner. I don't know if that's true. That's just what I read. No. Bruce says no. Nicole says yes. I believe Nicole. I would too. All right, I will threaten one of your hens and be nice to another, and then we'll cook both of them, and we'll see. We're going to have an experiment at Bruce's house, chicken dinner, all right? But scientifically, it does say that a chicken's brain is highly structured, and in some ways, like humans, it has an impressive level of intelligence to help it survive. But I think here, Jesus kind of picks this image of a hen, because they are smart, but they're also self-sacrificing. That's the model here, that the hen would protect its children, even if they don't want it. We have these baby chicks who are scattered and distracted and unable to comprehend the danger that is threatening them. The fox. And so Jesus desires to care for them. Jesus laments over this. He cries out, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I have longed to protect you. And yet they refuse. Jerusalem instead wants to stone him or put him to death. But this message isn't just for Jerusalem. This message is also for us. Now, most of us probably don't want to stone Jesus, right? I hope not. Maybe not, hopefully. But we don't really like his prophetic message in a lot of ways. We try to cast it out where we can. We try to make it convenient for us when we want. Love your neighbor, Jesus says. But really, that neighbor, I don't really like them so much. Their dogs bark too loud, right? Give to the poor, Jesus says. But wait, they're just poor because they've made bad choices. I shouldn't give to them. Or I need this money for myself, right? Welcome the foreigner in your own land, Jesus says. Oh, wait, we can't possibly do that. Instead, we try to rely on the security the world provides, but in fact, the world is like a crafty fox. It may seem shiny and bright, but in fact, it's dangerous. And instead, we should rest in Jesus. These baby hens, Jerusalem, their lives are kind of out of control, much like ours. But what's important for us is to recognize who Jesus is, this caring and loving God that challenges us, that makes us uncomfortable sometimes, but also desires to protect and love us. Wherever you are in the middle of this Lenten season, this season of kind of fasting and breaking away from the ways of the world and turning to God, I hope you recognize how much God loves you and desires to protect you. Let's pray. Oh God, I give you thanks for your message in Scripture and this image that you offer us as Jesus as a mother hen, oh God, longing to protect her chicks. God, this day, we ask that you would offer that same guidance and protection for us. That wherever we feel uncertain or fearful or worried, oh God, that we would know that we can rest in you. We pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.